Church, I'm excited. I am really excited this morning. Before I go into the message, there was, and I've said this a couple of months ago, I said something very similar. There is a sound. Hearing our praise and our worship, there is a sound there which is far more than the words that we are speaking. And it is the Spirit coming out and being present here. He said, we are all part of the body of Christ. And when we're all coming together, there is a sound which is coming. And it is growing almost week on week. And it is amazing. I love the verse. It says, better one day in the courts of the Lord than outside in the tents of the wicked or something. There is, when you feel the presence of God. And as I look out, I know there's so many people which have experienced that presence of God in their lives. And that moment that you feel that, that's only just a taster of what God has for you. And that experience then can kind of take you on and keep you on going. Just again, just before we get going, I just had this on my heart. So there is... I don't know if many of you go through the Bible app, have the YouVersion Bible app, but it's been really good actually the last few days. And I just thought, I wanted to kind of go through that. And that is that, if I can get it up, it is 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16. And 16 to 18, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Just briefly, if you've had a hard week this week, can you just stand for me? If you've had struggles this week, can you just stand for me? Thank you. If you've had a good week this week, can you stand for me? I really want to pray for those people who've had a tough week this week. But everyone is now pretty much standing because we're going back into that verse. Rejoice always, whether you've had a good week or a bad week. You're going to rejoice, God. You're going to pray continually. Again, if it's been a bad week or it's a good week, you're going to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I'm standing on this. This is what I'm feeling in my heart, is that we just need to remember that. Whatever the week is, it is that one day in God's presence, we remember that and we go, there is the purpose. That is why I'm going to rejoice always, because we have an awesome God. I'm going to pray continually because we have an awesome God. And I'm going to give thanks in all circumstances because we have an awesome God. Thank you. And yeah, again, just at the end, we're going to pray for those people who've had a tough week. But please find your seats and let's get going. So, we've been doing soteriology, a big word. I'll put my hand up. Can I say we're not a clever church? We're not using the wording to sound clever. I like to keep things simple, as those people who know me will know. This is just the study of salvation, as we've talked through the last 2 weeks. And we've gone through forgiveness, justification, and this week it is on reconciliation. Now, I've loved the order that we've gone through this, where when there are two parties and one has done wrong, there is that forgiveness. That party's got to ask for forgiveness, and then the forgiveness is given. That is then followed by a justification in that. But then it goes into this reconciliation, which is far more than almost forgiveness. It's that step beyond. And I hope today, my aim today is just to basically give you an idea of what that reconciliation is. What does it mean to be reconciled to God? And how is a person reconciled to him? And then what we do with that. And I thought I'd just start with a little thing on. I have a company, and I go through accounts and things. And whenever I hear reconcile, the word which springs to mind is the accounts term. And it actually is a beautiful analogy about reconciliation with God. In business terms, when you reconcile an account, you don't need to follow along too much with this. I'll keep it simple. It's basically making sure that your accounts are in line with what the truth is. And even in Google, it gives this lovely description of when you're talking about accounts, it's harmonizing your accounts. Now, I could say in my accounts that I'm making £1 million, £1 million, £1 million, but actually when it's reconciled to the bank, you won't find millions and millions of pounds. Not yet. I'll take that. Thank you, Wendy. I was thinking along those lines, and reconciliation with God is basically coming in line with God. God is the truth, and we want to get in line with that. And I'll start off with Colossians 1, 21 to 23. It says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the Gospels." So this scripture here tells you that this timeline almost that we've been going through. So from Adam, he sinned, and that second that sin was, we broke away from God. Because before that time, Adam delighted in walking with God. They were in the same step with God. But the second sin came in, there was a divide. And God is holy. God can't put up with the sin there. And as you know, in the story of in Genesis, obviously they had to be removed from the Garden of Eden. And they departed. And as humans went along, you have this story of the Israelites, and they go away from God. And they walk and wander away from God. They do their own things, and God sends a messenger and reconciles them, brings them back into line. And that was sometimes through things like on the altar and bringing sacrifices and things like that. But God had a bigger plan. And again, going back to this verse, God's bigger plan was he's going to bring Christ, the perfect one, with no sin, to take on our sin, to make that bridge back. I do like this morning, just in engine room, Josie was bringing us a word, and she was talking about bridges, and I thought that's really timely. And you know that God's working in a message when different people have a similar word. And God's using Jesus as this bridge to bring us to him and have this channel to reconcile us back to God. The beauty of this is that God gave Jesus, God sent Jesus into the world before we were all born, even Graham, before Graham was born. I love you, Graham. Yeah, that's okay. It was freely given. We are all sinners, but it was given to us freely, but we have to make that choice. And the end part of this verse in Colossians says, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the Gospels. So all we've got to do is just accept Jesus as our salvation in order to be reconciled back with God. But there's something even bigger to this as well. Jesus didn't just come down to the world and then was just on a cross. He had his time of ministry. And I love, I think it's in the end of the book of John. The book of John says, if we'd had to write down everything that Jesus had done, we wouldn't have enough books. And I love that, because when we think of it in the natural, it was like only 3 years worth of ministry or something. But he did so much, there's not enough books to fill it. Where am I going with this? Is that Jesus' ministry has allowed us to, again, be reconciled with God, start walking in what God wants in our life. So we have let's call it the great reconciliation, which is our ability to come to God through Jesus. But then there is also the reconciliation of our time now here. Whilst we are still on this earth, getting our thinking in line with God. Reconciling our actions and our motives in line with God. And that is the beautiful thing of the scriptures and God's word, because he gave it to us to change our thinking and bring us back in alignment with God through reconciliation. It's gone quiet and my mouth is getting dry. So we have now a direct connection to God through Jesus. And through Jesus, we can start, and through his word, we start bringing our thinking into alignment. You'll also find, if ever you do a study just in reconciliation, is how many times it's mentioned throughout the Bible. So you know that it is important. In fact, it's a whole book on reconciliation. Just in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." I'm going to repeat that because I think that's for someone today. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there's no other precursors to that. If any one of you is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We therefore are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteous of God. Beautiful scripture. Again, you have the whole story and timeline of us being away from God and God calling us and us being reconciled back to him. And jump into Romans now. I'm going to go through the same kind of thing. Romans 5, 6 to 11. It says, For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. Again, reconciliation. So to be reconciled back to God, God has got open arms. And all we've got to do is go, Lord, I have sinned and you sent Jesus. And I thank you for that. And through Jesus, I ask you that you reconcile me back to you. It's all so quiet. Good. I'm glad. So the next question is really, is as people reconcile to God, what should we do? So I've mentioned a little bit about walking with him, okay? Today we were singing out. We were singing out with a great sound. coming from heaven. And just in those times, you think, Lord, you are here. There is just something about when you are walking with God that is just completely different to this world. So part of our work here, in a sense, is we have been placed now. We've been reconciled back to him. We're now walking with him. Our purpose now is to share the good news. I love the fact that throughout the whole Bible, you've got this, yeah. You've got God reconciling people to him, and then Jesus, as he says, "Go, spread the good news, tell everyone about this." And I love this because this is our commission. This is the great commission that what we've got to do. If we've been reconciled freely, haven't we got an obligation to tell other people? And we've got the obligation to say to our friends, our family, people in the street, people that we know, people that we don't know, that God has saved me completely freely and he has changed my life. There is now a new sound which is emanating from my life that I never had before. And he has transformed darkness in my life now into light in my life. Who wouldn't want to hear that information? Who wouldn't want to know that they can also be reconciled to their Maker through that? It says in Ephesians 2, 19 to 20, it says, "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." So as we go out, not only are we now walking in line with God, we've got Jesus on our side sort of saying, as you go, you can hold me as your foundation. And then that kind of leads us now into a little bit of a trickier one. So we're now reconciled to God. We're now telling other people about God. What about the relationships in our lives? Do we have a right to hold something against someone else? And I've got to be sensitive with this because this could be difficult for some people. This could be a little bit of a trigger. And if you feel sort of all kinds of different emotions on this, then I do really want to chat, and we'll pray afterwards. But this is quite an important one, and it's that the same as if God can forgive us, we've got to forgive others. We don't have a right really to hold grudges. It says in Matthew 5, 23 to 24, it says, "So if you are presenting a sacrifice at an altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God." So there may be, there are some beautiful stories which I've heard about relationships which have got marriages which have got to like the final straw. I've heard of marriages which have gone through divorce even, and the miracle of God in that is they reconcile with one another and marriages are restored. I was thinking of relationships between sons and daughters and parents. Those times where those sons and daughters, as they come up and they're brought up and they grow up, and those first few times where they do something naughty and you kind of just guide them to what is right and what is wrong. And then sometimes down the line that they then do something naughty when they know it's not right to do. There is a practice, or there's something which has to happen in that, which a little bit like we've gone through with the series, there's a little bit of forgiveness that's got to happen there. And then there's a little bit of, you've got to go through reconciliation. And if we're talking about parents with their children, it's most of the time got to be initiated by the parents, being the older, wiser ones, that they make that first step. And I love that picture. I love that picture that, yeah, in our lives, God has made that first step. God has made that first step. So we have that potential, kind of, if you're here, if there's things playing on your mind already, I know that God's going to be working on people, and he's going to just sort of be dropping some seeds in people's minds, kind of just thinking, right, okay, this person or this situation which has been brought to light, God's just asking you, reconcile yourself. Reconcile that relationship. In John 13:34-35, it says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Something which has played on my heart a lot is unity. And it's so disheartening, especially when you see either churches or Christians against other churches or Christians. You think we are one body. And where is the love? It's sadder when it's within the Christian community, but also when people look in and they see Christians fighting, they say, well, why would they be fighting? There can't be anything worth it if they're fighting against themselves. So what's the position that we've got to be in? In Ephesians 4:17-24, it says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it, in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking." So that's just saying the world, okay? We'll put that in context of the world. Don't think like the world does. As you sat there, as I've mentioned some of these things and being reconciled, don't allow the enemy to get in and put in excuses. Because as you're thinking just there, I can guarantee the enemy's just put an excuse in there going, but, dot, dot, dot. "They are darkened in their understanding and separate from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regards to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There is so much, so much in life that you can go for an easy way out or a difficult way ahead. And sometimes the difficult way ahead is the way that God is taking you, because there is more to learn in that than taking the easy way out. Again, going back to this reconciliation, you've got to ask the question. Firstly, do you accept Jesus as reconciled you to God? First question. Secondly, now that you're in this position, are you prepared to have your mind reconciled and your motives to be reconciled to God as well? If we are prepared to do this, we are going to see amazing, amazing stuff as God works through us truthfully. The beautiful thing about the Bible is it gives you that storyline, and then you go into Revelations, and it goes into the last bit of Revelations, which is Revelations 21. And it's, this verse I'm going to take is from Revelations 21. There is another chapter. There is a beautiful thing which happens here, because we're talking about reconciliation, and we've talked about getting back to God. That in the end, though, in the end, Christ is coming back. In the end, we will have complete reconciliation with God. And I love this verse. It's Revelations 21, 3-4. It says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain.'" Hallelujah. "For the old order of things have passed away." So everything that I've said, all this reconciliation is, I'm pursuing God. I'm wanting to be reconciled fully to him, because I want one day to be able to be like Adam had that chance in the garden. I want to be able to walk with God, talk with God, have no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. And that will be the complete reconciliation back to God. And church, I love the fact that we're seeing new people coming into our church. But there is a harvest. There is a multitude of people who don't even know Jesus, or that there is a God, let alone knowing the freedom and the eternity that we have with our Creator. So what we're going to do is we're just going to pray. I think it would be a good opportunity to just pray for the community that we're in. Pray over the opportunities that come up in the week to just introduce people to Jesus. And pray about our own journey to make sure that we are constantly going back to the Word, reconciling ourselves back to God on what he wants for us. Let's just close our eyes. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I thank you that our salvation was a free gift from you through your grace and your mercy, that you gave your son, Jesus, to come down as the perfect man without any sin to die on our behalves, to be able to reconcile us back to you. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Father, for your word that guides us through life, the scriptures that have meaning and purpose and power for all situations that we go through in life. Father, we ask now that we reconcile our thinking to what your thinking is, because we know that in you there is life. And in you there is a will and a purpose for our lives by being obedient to what your will is in our thinking. Father, as we go out from this place, we go into a world where there are a lot of people who don't even know you. There will be lots of situations in our life this week where we will be talking to someone who doesn't know you, or who just doesn't understand this reconciliation. It doesn't understand what Jesus is all about. Father, we pray now that you use us, that you use our mouths and our tongues to speak light and hope into these people's lives, that we direct them to you, that they can be reconciled back to you. And as you've said, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Lord, we put our hands up and say, we are the workers and we are ready for the challenge. So as we go out into that field, we pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We pray for those words to say, and we pray for life to come in abundance to those who hear it. And Father God, I just pray over those people who stood up at the beginning, who've had a struggle this week. We are all on different journeys, but you know every single one of those journeys. You know every single thing which is going on. Lord, I pray over those people. I pray that the burden may be lightened by you. I pray for your peace and your joy to come into the week ahead. I pray that you will be in any of those situations, that if people are waiting for answers, that you give them reassurance for those answers, and that miracles happen this week. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray over them and pray blessings upon them. Father, and for this church, Lord, I pray over each and every single one of us that your word is spoken into our lives, that we're able to take this message and be able to work it in our lives and never forget that you are with us. And finally, Father, I pray over our pastors. I pray over Pastor Paul and Pastor Wendy. I thank you for their leadership in this church, and I pray great protection upon their lives and great blessings upon their household. Lord, be their strength in ways that just blow their mind, Father. Just be the miracles that they need. And I thank you for them. Lord, to you be the glory. I thank you for your Son. And just go with us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.